What else do I need from him?
Blog
Talk. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
You don't need a trainer, man.
No. All right, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. And if you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about one of the biggest fights of the year in the UK. It didn't happen. Let's get to it. Conor Benn versus Chris Eubank. This was going to be on the zone. Let's kind of take it from the very top here. Conor Benn failed a drug test about 2 weeks ago. All parties knew about this and decided the fight should go on. Now, what I'm not clear about is when the British Board of Boxing found out, because they're essentially the ones who canceled the fight. Beeb, let me ask you a question before we go any further here. Do you know, when did the boxing board find out?
Allegedly.
Did they find out 2 weeks ago with all the other parties?
Allegedly, I believe they found out 2 weeks ago. And it was, the test was, I believe, from September 1st, and then the results came back 2 weeks later, and then they received the results. Now, I also heard, I think Eddie Hearn said this, and this is the most bizarre thing in the world to me, that if UCOD finds an adverse result on someone's test, they don't have to reveal that to the public, or I don't believe they even have to reveal that to the other fighter, because when Dillian White tested positive, he had an adverse finding in one of his results when he fought Oscar Rivas. Oscar Rivas didn't even know about it till like, I think, 2 or 3 weeks later. They told him right at the last minute, you know, after Dillian White had his hearing with UCOD. Then once the decision was made on what to do with Dillian White, then Oscar Rivas knew about it. But in the interim, while that investigation was going on, they don't even tell the other party. Think about that. You don't even know what's going on behind the scenes.
That's crazy.
According to UCOD. So I guess what I'm trying to surmise here is,
let me ask you a question. If they knew 2 weeks ago, why did they wait all this time to cancel? And I'm not speaking about the promoters because they didn't cancel anything. I'm talking about the British board. Why did they wait so long to pull the plug on this? Literally days beforehand, when if you did it a couple of weeks ago, we got time. You know, you don't wait till the 0 hour to do this. Why did they wait so long?
A couple reasons why. Because with, like I said, with UCOD, they don't have to release the information, right? And so BBC was like, okay, so you know, if it's UCOD, we don't have to release the information. But VADA can make it public. So what's being said, and it sounds pretty plausible to me, is once that Daily Mail website leaked out that Conor Benn had an adverse finding in his test,
mm-hmm.
and it was made to the public, I'm just going to be honest, and this is just my opinion, I believe it sounds very plausible. I think once the public got a hold of the story and there was all this negative backlash, then they felt pressured that they had to cancel the fight. But I'm going to be honest with you. I believe all parties involved here were going to do everything they could possible to try to push this through. But in the 13th hour, when everyone knew the story and there was all this outcry from fans and media alike, the pressure was on them to cancel this fight. But in my opinion, they did everything possible to try and get this fight through. And I want to give a shout out to Maestro, because he brought up this point to me.
This is a great point.
And I was,
yeah.
And I wasn't And I wasn't even thinking of this. And then shout out to Maestro for saying this. And I think D-Stal mentioned it as well. I think he had it. He mentioned this as well. Because I didn't think of this originally, so I'm not going to take ownership of this thought. A lot of people were saying that, you know, they could go to another commission. And Eddie Hearn said, oh, yeah, we could have gone to other commissions, blah, 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 blah. But my question is, and Maestro brought this to my attention, Great Britain is no longer in the EU. So when Derek Chisora and David Haye did fight, that's when Great Britain was still in the EU. But after Brexit, Great Britain is no longer in the EU. So could they really have used another commission? Did Eddie Hearn try to? Because there was a lot, like you said, there was a lot of time in between. And they were trying to do everything possible to push this fight through. So he says, oh, without a doubt, you know, we never wanted to go with another commission. But there's conflicting stories about
that. Of course he did. You know he wanted to go with another commission. He was going to get crucified if he went with another commission, which is why he didn't go with another commission.
And that could be part of it, too. But also, right, I still question whether or not he would have been able to go with another commission.
No, I agree with that.
And here's something else we talked about. So UCOD doesn't recognize VADA, and then he pointed to the Billy Joe Saunders instance, right? So was that a specific case where UCOD decided to not recognize their finding for one specific reason? Because UCOD goes with the WADA protocol, and I actually agree with WADA in this assessment, right? So WADA does not allow stimulants during competition, but they allow it during non-competition. And the argument is because stimulants are in and out of the system so quickly, you know, right, you're not going to get a benefit of it unless you use it during the event. So the substance that Billy Joe Saunders tested positive for was a stimulant. And because the Massachusetts State Athletic Commission decided to go with VADA's finding, because VADA says you shouldn't be able to use stimulants, right, at any point in time, even during training, right? So if they find a test, you know, during training, they'll flag you for it, whereas USADA and UCOD will not, right? So in that instance, UCOD said, and the BBOC said, and UCOD, you know, BBOC said that, you know, we're going to go with UCOD's finding here because in that instance, they did not honor, you know, VADA's determination in that instance. But I want to ask and challenge Eddie Hearn, because he keeps saying, oh, well, they're going against their protocol because they canceled they didn't want to sanction the fight, but they didn't suspend the fighter. But what I want to ask is it written in the BBOC's rules that they have to exclusively go by UCOD's finding here, and then they cannot use VADA's finding for evidence. So he's talking about taking legal action against them. Unless you can find literature in their rules that says they cannot use VADA. Generally and historically, they have not used VADA. They went with UCOD, right? But this is evidence that was brought to them. So are they just supposed to throw it out? Is it written that they cannot use that evidence because it came from VADA and not UCOD? That's what we have to ask here, because Eddie Hearn is making these assumptions, or he's implying that the BBOC cannot use VADA. They can only use UCOD.
Right.
But again, evidence was presented to them. And if they're doing an investigation, they have every right to look at that, unless it's written in their rules saying that they cannot, which I do not know, and I probably suspect it's not written there.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
It's their assessment. So, you know, on one hand, Eddie Hearn is saying, I'm going to respect the BBOC and not push through with this fight. But on the other hand, he's criticizing how they handled it and the proper protocol was not done here. Well, how could proper protocol not be done when they're going to do an investigation?
Right.
So just like we're not supposed to jump to conclusions, and we're not supposed to have Conor Benn be guilty without having that he's guilty before being proven innocent, right? We have to give him that benefit of the doubt, right? But on the other hand, we can't just go along and say, oh, automatically that he didn't do anything wrong either, because, you know, let the process play out on both ends. And Eddie Hearn, it seems to be obviously you want to defend your fighter.
Right.
But in this situation, what you should have said was, you know, I find it hard to believe that Conor Benn knowingly took the supplement, but I do not know. I'm going to let the investigation and the process, take its course, and whatever happens, happens. It's very unfortunate. But now he's defending Conor Benn without knowing. I love you to death. I consider you a good friend. You pop positive for a PED. I'm not going to sit there and say, I know for sure you didn't take it.
Right.
Because, I'm not going to throw you under the bus. I'm going to say, well, you know what?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it, right? That's what Eddie Hearn should have done. And the more he talks and the more interviews he does, he's not helping Conor Benn. He's hurting Conor Benn.
You know, a lot of people in the chat are talking about the B sample. And listen, the B sample's positive also. Listen, the way they collect this, you pee in a cup, they split it, they test one, and they put the other one away. If you tested positive on the A, you're going to test positive on the B. That's just the way it is, man. You're going to test positive on it. Let's talk a little bit about what this was. So Ben tested positive for clomiphene, or you may know it as Clomid. This is straight from Healthline. Clomid blocks the hormone estrogen from interacting with the pituitary gland. So it's an estrogen blocker, okay, guys? So why on earth would you need an estrogen blocker? I'll tell you. If you're on enhanced testosterone, TRT, anything like that, if you're taking testosterone supplements, or not supplements, but, you know, shots or whatever, any kind of testosterone, you go to those HRT, TRT clinics or whatever, they're going to give you, 9 times out of 10, they're going to give you an estrogen blocker because your testosterone raises. When your testosterone raises, your estrogen sometimes tends to raise too. So they give you those to block mood swings and everything like that. It's an estrogen blocker. Now, that's what he popped for. All right? So unless you're having fertility, if you're a man and you're having fertility issues, because I've read they can do that for fertility issues as well, it's not unheard of to give somebody Clomid for fertility issues. But, okay, usually the only time you're going to see a guy taking Clomid at, what is he, 26 years old? 25 years old. What's he taking Clomid for? He's doing this because he's taking some kind of enhancements, right?
Yeah,
and everybody saw how big that guy was. And you know what? This is because, I'll tell you what, this is what happens when you make a fight 20, 25 pounds out of the guy's weight class, and then you want to meet him in the middle. You know, he's not as strong as Chris Eubank. Everybody knows that. That's why I said this fight was a mismatch to begin with. Go ahead.
I'm gonna say something else, and I know you hate when I do this, and HR doesn't like when I do this because
HR
get emails
hates it. HR,
but I'm gonna be a conspiracy theorist.
How dare you?
Right? They spend $30,000 on VADA, right? Why did they do VADA for this fight? Well, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Did they do VADA for this fight?
Listen to this though, because this is interesting. I'm gonna go down the rabbit hole here. If you think about it. Right? The stage was set. Everything was kind of set up here for Chris Eubank to probably take something in order to make weight. VADA, like I told you, tests for these stimulants out of competition, right? So in my opinion, they wanted to know if Chris Eubank was taking diuretic stimulants to try to make this weight. So why did they bring VADA in here? Mm-hmm. They were more concerned about
Chris
Eubank.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And that's the thing. Because if anyone would have been more enticed to take something in this situation, fighting at a weight he's never fought at, or at least in several years, it was this guy. So the way Eddie Hearn was presenting this, and this is very ludicrous the way he was presenting this, because we all saw the video how he contradicted himself back up with the thing, right? So he's saying, VADA isn't there to adjudicate punishment. They're just there to let the fighters know what the other guy's taken. And then they can work it up between themselves if they want to fight. No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
That's bullshit.
Nobody
okay?
does that.
Okay, that's the wild, wild west.
Right.
Because
go get a tough man. Go sanction a tough man contest if you want to do stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Because suppose, and I have my own stance on PEDs, but what I believe about PEDs and all that is irrelevant here, because the rules are what the rules are. You signed up for drug testing protocol, then you adhere to that drug testing protocol. If you fail the test, whatever, you have to be punished. So for Eddie Hearn to say something like that, oh, well, that's just what the fighters know, what each other's on if they're on something, and then they can make the decision there. Oh, and then he was trying to frame it like, okay, so both fighters said that they wanted to fight each other. Okay, then, let them fight each other. Again, I'm going to be honest with you. Would I have been up in arms if this fight took place? No. But they could not let this fight take place because of the hypocrisy, because of the rules. If you're going to have the rules, you have to follow them. Would I have been all up in arms if this fight took place? No, but I would have pointed out the hypocrisy. Why have the testing? Why do all these things and not follow through on them? It makes you look incompetent. It makes you look weak as a commission, and it makes Eddie Hearn look like a hypocrite, and it makes him look like all he cares about is the money. Because you know as well as I do, right?
Yep.
There was so much money on the line.
There was a lot. And you know what? I tell you what. I was up in arms if the fight was even made. I mean, I told you guys from the beginning, I think this is a mismatch. This is a bad fight for Conor Benn, especially a guy with Conor Benn who has such a good future in the sport. They're bringing him along really nice. He's got a good future. I think it was terrible what they did.
Here's the thing, Eric. I went down in history, and I wrote all these fights down, right? And I looked at every time a little man went up to fight a big man, right? And the statistics show the little man wins. But here's one thing you have to look at. For the majority of cases, the little man wins. But here's one thing you have to look at. When the little man won, it was because it was a big skill gap between the little man and the big man, meaning like Sugar Ray Leonard was a lot more talented fighter.
Dolly Lamont. Right.
Roy Jones was a much more talented fighter.
Than John Ruiz.
John Ruiz. Manny Pacquiao at that time was in his prime. Bill O'Hare was not. But here was a situation where you had a guy who was not only smaller, but he was less experienced. And I will argue this, and maybe, it's just my opinion. It's subjective. I think Chris Eubank Jr. is a more skilled fighter than Conor Benn at this stage of his career. So you can argue against it if you want. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But
I will tell you,
fine.
He's got definitely more experience. The skill gap is not crazy, put it that way. I think there is a skill gap, but I don't think it's crazy.
Yeah. I think the skill gap is – so here's the thing. He was not only giving up size, but I think he was giving up experience, and I think there was a skill gap. So he couldn't make up for that size advantage with the skill is what I'm saying. So
yeah.
In this instance, you didn't have that same scenario where the little guy moving up was more skilled, was much more skilled than the big guy, so he can compensate for the size differential, right? This wasn't the case. This is just me, and anything can happen in boxing. I did not see any way Conor Benn could win this fight.
No.
So that's why they put the Bodirin test, because they didn't want Chris Eubank to have any unfair advantage. And I'll tell you this. If Chris Eubank took Sudafed and popped and Vada flagged him for fucking epinephrine or shit,
right,
they would have fucking either canceled the fight or they would have fucking imposed fines on him. Oh, well, you're going to have to give us half your fucking purse if you want this fight to go. They would have fucking raked him over the coals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Vada was here. That's why Vada was here. They were more concerned about what Chris Eubank was doing, not Conor Benn.
That's a great point, and that's why they brought Vada in. You know what I mean? I have no doubt.
I can't be mad at UConn because they did follow their protocol, right? Like, and it's just that their protocol is ridiculous. So in the Dillian White situation, they, like, again, not telling the other fighter until after the investigation is completed is ridiculous. They blindsided Oscar Rivas. He did not know until like a day before the fight that fucking Dillian White tested positive for a banned substance. So what we can kind of come to here is The BBOC and UCAD really need to revamp how they do their drug testing protocol. Because the thing about how they do it in the United States is the commission has the right to make a determination regardless of what comes back from VADA. So they can act on VADA if they decided that VADA has provided them sufficient evidence. And, you know, if they agree with VADA's findings, like, and they can look at the circumstances of the situation, right? They can look at all that, and then they can make determination. Because they did suspend Canelo. And they didn't say he was guilty. What they did say was we're going to suspend him pending an investigation for 6 months. So what the BBOC should do here is suspend Conor Benn, not for the 4 years. That's kind of ridiculous. We're going to suspend him a bare minimum of 6 months, maybe even a year, pending an investigation. So in that case,
pending an investigation. That guy, yeah. Let me tell you something again. There, you know, again, there's only one. He's only taking Clomid. And that's the scary part. Not that he was taking the Clomid, right? Estrogen blocker. It's what he was taking, why he was taking it. That's my point. All right,
well, here's something else.
Why he was taking it. Because he was on the juice. That's why he was taking it. And they're not going to be able to prove that or whatever, but that deserves a suspension. Because, again, it's not the drugs that you're caught with. It's the drugs that you're taking to hide what you don't get caught with. And that is one that you're hiding something. You know what I mean? Those two go in tandem. Testosterone and Clomid go in tandem.
Well, here's the thing too, Eric. Bodybuilders use this drug as a post-cycle drug, because another thing that happens is when you're on any type of steroid, right, mm-hmm. anabolic agent, right, like you said, once you stop taking that steroid, your normal testosterone shuts down.
Yeah.
So in order to fire your testosterone back up again, you got to take this drug as a post-cycle. So
right. There's
a lot of scenarios why he would take this drug. He could have been taking other stuff, other steroids,
right.
And he could have been taking – and here's another
– And it's also not uncommon to take this during the cycle either.
As well. So there's many reasons to take
it. Sure. They're all the same.
Yes, and you mentioned fertility.
Yeah.
There is some guys do take it for sperm production. But here's the kicker on that one. It has not been researched thoroughly enough to determine if that works or not. It's only been researched on females for fertility.
Right, because it's a female drug.
So that's the thing.
It's an estrogen blocker, you know what I mean? I mean,
yes. So we don't know. Let me just touch on this point, too, because you hear this thing, it's only trace elements. And Gabe Montoya made a great point on Thursday. He goes, so you're taking a urine test. You expect someone to piss out a fucking full pill? Anytime you're being urine tested for something, you're not like.
Right.
It's always going to be a trace element because there's other things in your piss. You know what I mean? Like, of course, there's only going to be like trace elements because your body has already assimilated and metabolized the drug, getting rid of the little bit that it does. That, you know.
You're not going to get a full unless you took it that day. Unless he was dumb enough to take it that day, you know.
Any supplement you take or any drug you take, your body's only going to use so much of it, and it's going to excrete the rest of it through your urine.
Yeah.
So there's more often than not, there's always going to be a trace amount in your urine because your body has already used the majority of the drug already.
Right.
So this thing, like all this fucking word salad bullshit, you know,
it's ridiculous.
Horrible.
Again. You get caught, and then Nigel Benn comes out and, of course, says, you know, my son didn't take this, blah, blah, blah. He's a completely clean fighter. No, he's not. I would respect you more if you just said, I got caught. I took this drug. Why did I take it? I just took it. Whatever. But you took it.
Eric, if you tested positive, like I said, I wouldn't throw you under the bus, but I would just say this. I have a hard time believing Eric would do this, but, again, it's in his system. An investigation needs to be done, and hopefully at the end of the investigation, he's found innocent. But, I have to respect the process. I have to respect that an investigation needs to be done. I cannot say definitively without a shadow of a doubt that Eric did not take this drug. knowing him from, you know, his character, I find it hard to believe that he would take this knowingly. But let's do the investigation to find out. Simple.
I mean,
why did he say that? Right. Why didn't he just say that? Instead of fucking trying to, are we going to take legal action against the board? Come on, bro.
You know what? I agree. Chael Sonnen and Shane Mosley were the last people that admitted to taking drugs. They really are. You know?
And of course people are going to be skeptical because as anyone, like you said, 9 out of 10 times, only 2 people have admitted to taking them after they were caught and they couldn't deny it anymore. They both initially did deny it, you know? So when someone says they're innocent, of course we're going to be skeptical about that because that's the natural thing to say once an athlete pops. Everyone says, oh, I didn't do anything, I didn't do anything. I mean, that's understandable.
CN, thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it. He said, when these guys pop dirty, we have to assume they are on everything. He's right. Firstly, cheating is cheating. Secondly, they could be masking agents or used combination with other stuff. Shout out to Joe and Eric. That's what we've been saying. Yeah, exactly. This isn't a masking. This is used in conjunction with. Now, again, just because he didn't test positive, and I'm real curious what his testosterone counts are because they let you, I think if you like a certain amount above where you actually are, where, you know, because the average is what, 350 to 1,000. Is your average steroid or your average testosterone range?
Well, 850, 350 to 850.
350 to 850, or yeah, 350 to 850. I thought it was 350 to 1,000. Okay.
1,000 times.
So, okay. So they give you a range up. They give you like a percentage up for like athletes when they test them. You know what I mean? So if you're going above that, that's a red flag. So I'm just curious to see where his levels were. We'll never find out. I get that. But I'd just be real curious to take a look at where his levels are. You know, I mean, it's just, it's insane, man. So now, here's the greatest part. The card is postponed. None of the fighters get paid. So all the work, training, money that the undercard's fighters had to put in is ruined because of this idiot. You know, and why don't you, you know, and this is why you don't make fights like this. You know, this is why we have weight classes for a reason. There's no point in having a 20-pound difference. I get it. Yeah, listen, I get it. They were at 10 pounds. Yeah, I got you. They're going to weigh the same. Yeah, I get it. But, you know, making him shrink that down in weight, making him put on in, you know what I mean? It doesn't make sense, man. CN, again, thank you so much. He said, what do you think would happen if the worst-case scenario of the fight went and Eubank got seriously injured and, God forbid, killed? Listen, Nigel Benn is the one that got Gerald McClellan. You know what I mean? He's the one that fought Gerald McClellan. Anything can happen in there. So it's not even a question of, you know, again, you, like you said, and like CM said, hey, what if the fight happened while he was on this stuff, you know, or while he was training with this stuff? It's dangerous enough in there. Why is there, you know, I don't understand. Everybody rips on Dana White in the UFC. Listen, when somebody tests positive, that fight doesn't happen, period. End of story. They have the VADA. They use VADA. When somebody tests positive, the fight doesn't happen because they pay VADA to do this. Why is it?
They use the VADA.
Okay. So why is it when Eddie Hearn and Matchroom, they hire VADA, the test comes back because that's all they do is report. All the VADA does is test and report. That's all they do. So why is it when this comes back, they're like, okay, that's no problem. He can fight. What? Are you serious? Everybody knew the last 2 weeks they want to get paid. This is a big money fight. I understand. But the fighters have to – there has to be somebody to save the fighters from themselves.
It's like everything else with Matchroom. If you fight a Matchroom fighter, right, you have to beat him twice. He only has to beat you once.
Right.
If there's VADA testing, guess what? We're only concerned with VADA testing if the other guy pops, not our guy.
Yeah.
That's the message this is sending. That's the message this is sending.
You're seeing.
I guarantee you. If fucking Chris Eubank fucking was on Sudafed, man, he popped for epinephrine. They would have fucking raked him over the coals, brother. They would have raked him over. The coals.
Yeah. If he tested positive, you
Forget
know what's
it.
Going on then.
Forget about it.
Just awful. And the fact that both these guys, both Wasserman and Matchroom, wanted to let this fight go on with absolutely no, they could care less about their fighters, either fighter they could care less about, you know, they saw dollar signs and that was it. You know, it's ridiculous. And somebody in the chat, who is it? Who is it in the chat that said this? Brian, the boxing brain, said that this fight was probably bigger than AJ and Fury in the UK. He said this was huge in the UK. This was a monster fight over there.
I was actually getting excited for this fight. This was one of the – I'm going to say something extremely, extremely controversial. This was one of the best promoted fights I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen a fight better promoted than this. I would say De La Hoya Mayweather was a very, very well promoted fight. This was right there with that. Chris Eubank, the 60% thing, the way he was, like, they were on all the shows. He was hilarious, man.
You know,
it was hilarious.
This one and the McGregor, I thought the McGregor-Mayweather fight was probably one of the better promoted. I mean, because that was everywhere. That was everywhere. But, yeah.
This was in the top five.
For sure.
Maybe even top three best promoted fights of all time.
It was great promotion. I mean, that gloves off. You know, those, you know, I mean, they're good.
Eubank is just a very entertaining. I like Eubank.
He's entertaining, man. He really is. He's an entertaining guy. And as much as I wanted Conor Benn to pull the trigger and win this fight, I really wanted him to win coming in. What's that?
Conor to win?
I did want Conor to win. I was picking Eubank.
I was pulling for Eubank. I like Eubank.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Conor. I just like Eubank.
Right. Tommy Boxeo, thank you so much. He said, I believe Ringside Robbie was behind everything. Spike Ben's drinks, he was the mastermind behind Ben's positive test.
Wait till he comes on the line because he's going to get it tonight, man.
Oh, stop it. What's the matter?
Because
I don't even see him on the line unless one of them is him.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
tell you why he's not on the line. Big reason why he's not on the line.
Why?
I mean, this is a wake-up call for us. I tried to suppress this for years. But the reason why Ringside Robert is not on the show anymore, he popped positive.
That is true. I don't want to get in the whole HR thing and everything like that.
We had to take him off the show. And the reason why, but now after seeing all this, we don't want to get, we're going to come clean with it yet.
Yeah, and this is an HR issue. We feel like we're walking on a tightrope here. But, yeah, he did test positive. That's all I'm going to say. He did test positive, and we run a clean ship here. I mean, we run a clean ship, both me and Beeb.
We get tested weekly here.
Yeah, I mean,
we get tested weekly here, and if we pop positive for anything on the list,
right,
we're done. There's not even a suspension period. We're just done.
Luckily, it's a very small list, so there you go. CN, thank you so much. You said their father's fights are legendary in the U.K., pretty much all non-boxing fans I've ever met still talk about those fights. Do you guys think the fight still happens? Yes. Yes, absolutely. The fight still happens. They're going to, just reschedule it. What's that?
You think it's
going to
happen?
Yeah.
You think it's going to happen?
I do.
Really?
I think there's too much money for it not to. But it depends. I will tell you, it does depend.
The whole UK media is destroying them.
Yeah. And Conor is the one who's, and rightfully so, is going to take the brunt of this. I hope. Somebody had mentioned in the chat 2-year suspension. 2 years, period, at least.
They're saying 4 years.
Good. Good. Wow. Goodbye, good riddance. We don't need it, man. We don't need it in the sport. You don't need it, man.
That's a long time.
Well, look, man. I mean, listen, it's, you're dealing with, you know, listen, man, you get in there and you risk, these two guys can hit. And then you got to put, you know, you put steroids or PEDs on top of that. Come on, man. That's a lot, man. So that's Lil Penny says 6-month suspension. I hope not. I hope they go the full nine and get rid of this guy, man. I really do.
He's got to get punished, bro.
Somebody's got to make an example. Don't do it like a big baby Miller thing where, you know, he pops in there, he's off on some technicality because it wasn't in New York or whatever it was.
And this ain't Fettermine either, man. This is, you know.
Fettermine was just to help him lose weight. Like I said, this is definitely used in conjunction with testosterone, something with synthetic or otherwise.
There's something else going on with this one.
Yeah, this was used in conjunction with. If you're a guy, you just don't take Clomid for nothing. Yeah. You know what I mean? It just doesn't work that way.
Take Clomid by itself.
CN, thank you so much. He said, should Eubank renegotiate the catch weight? This is a funny part. So when Eddie Hearn, when all this was going down, somebody had mentioned this to Eddie Hearn and said, okay, he says, so would you be willing, since he did test positive, would you be willing to renegotiate the catch weight? And he says, well, no, this is a negotiating ploy for Eubank. He said, this isn't nothing for negotiation here. This is a test about Conor Benn. He wasn't even going to budge on that. But I guarantee, the reason Eubank Jr. wanted to fight, I guarantee he got paid. Guaranteed they upped the ante there. That's why he was willing to fight, because nobody's going to, he definitely thought he could win. I thought he could win too. But,
the guarantees were like $4 million or something like that.
Yeah, I guarantee they upped his quite a bit.
They got 4 million guarantees, and I think that they were going to get the pay-per-view revenue too. They could have made a lot of money for this fight.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat had mentioned Chris Van Heerden, and Chris Van Heerden indeed came out and said, I lost fair and square to Conor Benn, but now I got to think about, was he using at that time? I love Chris Van Heerden.
Too.
Yeah, Chris Algieri too. I love Chris Van Heerden. He's a friend of the show, but Conor Benn, they fought Chris Heerden because he wasn't in his prime. You weren't fighting a prime Chris Heerden there, Van Heerden there. He was very much, on the dark side of his career at that point. When he fought Conor Benn, he had fought Errol Spence, and he had been on a string of losses. I think there was no way they were going to put Conor Benn in the fight with Chris Van Heerden, thinking that he was going to lose. Put it that way. And as good as Chris Van Heerden is, and he's a great fighter, no question. But, again, he was on the dark side of his career. Conor Benn was on the upswing. Yeah, now, whether he took him or not, where he was dirty or not in that fight, that I don't know. But does it make a difference on the outcome of that fight? I don't think so. I think that Conor Benn was going to win that fight no matter what. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, and I hate saying it, but, yeah, that's kind of the way it is. And I love Chris Algieri, man. Or Chris Van Heerden. Algieri, I can take or leave. He gets on my nerves. I don't know why he gets on my nerves. He just does. Something about him.
Yeah. Okay.
Something about him.
Like me with Teddy Atlas.
Well, that is, you beefing with Teddy Atlas is just completely silly to me. Silly argument. That's like you saying, Michael Jordan or LeBron James isn't really good at basketball.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, you're talking about Teddy Atlas. This is the greatest ever. You're talking about the greatest trainer ever, son.
Oh, my God.
They're firemen. You know when it gets hot? That's how they know they're in the right place, because they're firemen. We go toward the fire. We go toward the heat. Tell me that doesn't. Come on, man. He's the best ever. Best ever. Stop it.
And he's asking friggin' Alexander Povetkin if he believes in magic. What the fuck is this, man? A fucking talent show? It's a fucking boxing match.
Hyping his guys up. And he gives them complete instruction. You got to love it, man. Come on. You got to love it. Tommy Boxeo says, I am a fireman. Yes, I am. There you go. let's see here. Let's go to the actual fights now on Showtime. Sebastian Fundora versus Carlos Ocampo, a complete one-sided fight. Sebastian Fundora wins a unanimous decision over Ocampo, 117, 111, 118, 110, 119, 109. Beeb, let me ask you this, because it was a one-sided, it was a one-sided fight, or, basically was. Is Fundora the real thing? Can he win a title where he's at?
A lot of people criticize Fundora because they say he doesn't use his height and reach. But he's such a really good inside fighter. Like when he is on the inside, he's really good. He fights properly on the inside. You know, he does tuck his chin, he bends his knees. You know, he positions himself properly on the inside. Like for a lot of guys who aren't good inside, will stand straight up, they'll square up a lot, they'll throw the shots too wide. But he knows how to really make those shorts. Those shots compact when he's up close, particularly that uppercut and that left hook. And he's in phenomenal shape. He's got decent power. And he just is such a high-volume guy and fights at such a fast pace that he's been able to wear everyone down. Like, all of his fights have turned into battles of attrition. And to date, no one's been able to deal with that battle of attrition. He's been the guy who's always outworked and outpaced and outfought the other guy. So given his size and given that style of fighting, I do believe he's the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, I do believe he's the real deal. There's a lot of comparisons made to Paul Williams, but here's a few things that he does differently than Paul Williams. Again, his shots are not as wide and kind of floppy.
He's a better boxer than Paul Williams.
Yeah, he's got a better jab than Paul Williams.
Yeah.
And Paul Williams used to kind of lean forward face first into his shots. This guy's got great balance. He's very coordinated. Like, Paul Williams looked a little bit uncoordinated, didn't that? His footwork is kind of ragged. This guy, being as tall as he is, just like Tyson Fury, they're very coordinated for their size, and they're very athletic for their size. Because generally when we see guys this big and lanky, they tend to be a little bit cumbersome and awkward and uncoordinated, where he's not. And he can fight on the outside, but it's crazy that, to me, he's a better inside fighter than he is an outside fighter. Because when this fight started, the first five rounds were competitive, and after six, you could argue it was even. But then once, because he was boxing from the outside, well, once the taller man in Fundora closed the gap and collapsed the pocket on Campo, he was having more success from fighting on the inside. And a lot of people don't, you know, they can't fathom that. But I mean, my eyes aren't lying to me. I mean, when he's on the inside, he does well. He outworks guys. He out-hustles guys. He hurts guys, you know. And even when against the Lubin fight, that he threw a beautiful short uppercut on the inside and friggin' almost took friggin' Lubin, knocked him off his friggin' feet, like it lifted him in the air.
Right.
So this guy knows how to shorten up shots and get leverage up close.
You know who he reminds me of is Riddick Bowe. Right. As big as Bowe was and as good as he was on the inside, he reminds me a lot of that.
And I'm a little biased because I like inside fighting better than outside fight. I love guys who fight on the inside better than the outside.
I like that's fighters. I think
you like outside fighters.
Yeah, because I don't like to get in there. That's kind of how I try to like hit and not get hit. Yeah. More of a.
I like fighting on the inside better too.
Yeah, I don't like taking those shots.
I like being closer to my opponent because my punches don't have to travel as far.
There you go.
I like throwing those short punches.
I like keeping them off with a jab every now and then, dropping a right hand, and then just keeping them guessing. That's what I like.
All right.
CN, thank you so much. CN is in running for Chat Personality of the Year right now because of this one, this tweet right here. Teddy Atlas commentary, he meant to say Teddy, in the Fight Night games is awesome. I'd pick him over any current ESPN or DAZN commentators any day. Come on.
You guys are
talking about Teddy Atlas, son.
You guys are killing me tonight.
Stop it.
I'm going to go ahead and friggin' stick my head underwater after this show, man. You guys are driving me crazy.
Stop it. Come on. CN said he's going to send me a ticket to an all-female boxing show, like mud wrestling or something. I'm down for that. I'll do that. Do that. I'll see some chicks mud wrestle. Why not? Steve, would you go to a mud wrestling? Did they still have that? Like when they wrestle in Jell-O and stuff like that, they do that at the massage parlors you go to. Like if you were to request that, like if you went there and you requested that, you said, "I just give me the special," and would they, you know,
B's got a story for you. I went to my friend's bachelor party, right? And I was the best man, right? So I set up the bachelor. So we went to this place in Providence called the Foxy Lady.
Okay.
And it's a guy kind of like a lap dance parlor. They come in, they sit on you, give you a lap dance, do the dance with you. They had this thing called foam wrestling.
Okay.
And they put him in the ring with all these girls with the foam, with the like the this big like shaving cream foam type stuff.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
And it was awesome. They were fucking giving him a workout. They were throwing him around and shit and crazy. They were naked. That's on the beach top three best days of all time in his life.
Did you get in there with him? Did you go to the champagne room? Come on, let's have it.
No, he didn't tag me in, but I was getting a lot of good lap. I was getting quality lap dances, man.
You were getting quality lap dances. So were you able to go to like the private room or anything like that?
Oh yeah, I went to the private room.
So you went to the private room. So what goes down in the private room?
Well, this is a family show. We can't get into that right now. We're not going to go that in depth.
I'm gonna spoil it for you guys. What goes down in the private room? Beef spends $300 and goes home. That's what happens in the private room.
I don't think that. I don't want to get in trouble with HR again.
True. True. You got quite a tongue lashing from HR.
Right.
Carlos Adames versus Juan Macias Montiel. Carlos Adames wins via third round TKO over Montiel. Let me tell you what, this was a complete blowout. Let me tell you, this fight could have been stopped at any point in the third round. I have no idea what the referee was waiting for, but quite honestly, he should be suspended. He let Montiel take way too much punishment. He got hit clean like a billion times. He looked like he was in trouble multiple times in that third round. Why on earth? Why on earth didn't that referee stop it? And even in the stoppage, he took way too many shots. Just the guy seriously would, he needs to be suspended. But, you know, there it is.
That was kind of scary, wasn't it?
It really was. He took some crazy shots. I mean, clean, looping shots.
Really, he really did.
Yeah. Fernando Martinez versus Jerwin Ancajas. Martinez defeats Ancajas again. 119-109, 118-110, twice. Dave, at one point, I thought Ancajas was the best fighter in the division, but clearly that's no longer the case. Yeah, I said he's the best guy in that division.
I could throw him under the bus. You're like Robbie, man. You're going to be a fair weather fan.
He's useless to me now. You know what I mean? He's useless to me now. I tell you what, there's winning and there's nothing else.
Remember in Goodfellas when Paulie tells with his name Henry not to deal drugs, and then he deals drugs and he finds out again, and they're at the barbecue, he's eating a sausage, and he goes, you know, he takes a wad out and gives him $3,000 and goes, you're nothing to me now, I can't help you.
That's why I did a drug the other night. I was like, hey, you're nothing to me now.
That's how Eric rolls. Gives you the little fucking gangster old man. Get out of here now. I'm done.
Gotta go. Gotta go. I'm done with you now. You can't do anything for me now.
You're nothing to me now. Like fucking the Godfather. You're nothing to me now. You're not a friend. I don't want to see you. When you come see our mother, I want to know 2 days in it. That's Eric.
Listen. Fredo had it coming. I mean, did Fredo not have it coming? Fredo had it coming. Come on.
Yeah, Fredo
had it coming. I mean, you can't blame Michael for that.
That was tough. That was tough, man. But Fredo did.
Yeah, no, you can't recover from that, man.
That's a bad look. That's like a ringside Robbie move.
Wow.
That's something he would do, man.
That's rough, man. Even Tone says that's cold as ice. There you go. All right. Next week, Saturday, October 15th. From Melbourne, Australia, you can watch it 7:30 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN Plus. This fight is actually taking place. Who cares when it's taking place? Listen, you can watch it at 7:30, October 15th on ESPN Plus. I don't need to know what time it is in Australia. Devin Haney versus George Kambosos Jr., 12 rounds for Haney's undisputed lightweight championship. Jason Maloney versus Noah Fon Kaikana, Andrew Maloney on the undercard as well, and that's about the only names you probably recognize on here. But everybody's tuning in for the Devin Haney-Kambosos fight. We're going to talk about this in just a second. Let's see here. October 15th in Brooklyn, New York, the big one. Deontay Wilder versus Robert Helenius, 12 rounds heavyweight. Undercard, Caleb Plant versus Anthony Durrell, 12 rounds super middleweights. I don't like that fight at all, but we'll come back to that. No, I don't. I think it's a complete wash. I think Durrell's washed. I do. I think Durrell's washed. That's just me.
Yeah. I like because there's bad blood. I'm curious to see how that fight plays out because of the bad blood. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, at this
washed,
point.
Washed, right? Who cares about the bad blood when you're washed? That's like, you know, that's like me having bad blood against Tyson Fury. And when that fight happens, who's going to win? You know what I'm saying? Come on. What am I going to do? I'm going to get murdered, you know? Like, really.
That's true.
Gary Antonio Russell versus Emmanuel Rodriguez. I don't hate that fight. I like Emmanuel Rodriguez, but he's been through the ringer. Does he have anything left? Probably not, but I don't know. Your boy, Frank Sanchez versus Carlos Negron, 10 rounds, heavyweights. Frank Sanchez is probably one of the most talented up-and-coming heavyweights there is, and Frank Sanchez is also a guy who will never get a title shot because nobody wants to watch him fight. He's like, what is the Guillermo Wigandow in the heavyweight division. Nobody wants to watch it. Nobody wants to watch it.
A style to watch.
He's not exciting. He's not – there's nothing about him that's appealing. He doesn't not have a personality. Fan. He doesn't have – you know, he's not even, like, engaging. You know what I mean? There's just nothing about this guy that you want to watch. Sorry I'm being harsh. It just is.
Telling you like Robbie, you're retiring the guy. He hasn't even taken a loss yet.
Did not retire him. Did not retire him. I'm just saying nobody wants to watch him.
Well, essentially, that's
– I'd rather pay to watch him watch a fight than to pay to watch him fight. You know what I mean?
That may even be worse than retiring. You're telling people not to buy – you're telling people not to buy tickets to his fights, man. Why are you trying to boycott the guy?
Because he sucks. He's not good.
He's
not good to watch. He's not good to watch.
Guy doesn't have a right to make a living?
What's that?
Guy doesn't have a right to make a living?
He absolutely has a right to make a living. I'm just not going to support him. And that's going to be it for next week. There's some chick fight in London. I don't think anybody's interested in.
That's the best weekend.
ESPN Plus. We'll glance over this. Clarissa Shields versus Savannah Marshall for the IBF and WBC. Who cares? It's an undisputed middleweight title. They're going to fight. Let me tell you what. They're going to fight. They're going to fight for 20 minutes and declare one of them the champion at the end.
Who wins?
Sure. Who cares? They're fighting for 20 minutes. Who cares? Two-minute rounds. Who cares? Why don't you just go down? I'd rather watch these two guys spar. Who cares? They're going to fight 10 two-minute rounds, and then at the end, you're going to crown one of those. That's who you're going to call a champion? Stop it.
Do they spar three-minute rounds, or do they spar two-minute rounds?
It doesn't matter. They're not fighting two. I don't care if they spar five-minute rounds. They're only fighting two-minute rounds, and nobody, none of them, are coming out of the woodwork saying, I want to fight three-minute rounds. I'm only getting paid for 2 minutes. No, I don't want to be legitimate. Why would I want to be legitimate? I'm just going to fight two rounds because that's all they're paying me, two-minute rounds. That's all they're paying me for. Start being legitimate, son. It starts with Clarissa. She's the biggest, she's one of the bigger names in the women's sport. Puffy amateur gloves. There you go. There you're listed. See, you've got it. He understands. He gets it. Larry listed an IC eye to eye. Michaela Mayer and Alicia Baumgartner, another 20-minute fight for some titles. Caroline, this is an all-women's card, too. Where's, what's her face, that one porn star? What's her name? Steve, help me out. What's her name? Not the chick who does the reporting, not the chick who does the reporting for OnlyFans.
Ebony Bridges.
Ebony Bridges, okay, yeah. Yeah, Ebony Bridges is not on the card. Of all people, why did you put her on the card? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Andrew, I wish. Andrew says, can't they fight naked? That would make it much more interesting to me. If you're not, listen. If you're not, Ebony's a hottie, yeah, she is. So if you're not going to fight, I don't understand. If you're help me understand this. If you're not, any women out there, help me understand this. If you're not going to, you know, you can fight the 3 minute rounds. Nobody is saying, hey, let's fight 3 minutes. Nobody's coming out of the woodwork and saying that. Why? Why don't you want this equal? You guys should be equal. You guys are just as talented. I'll say it over and over again. You guys are just as talented. But as long as you continue to fight under these circumstances and don't want to be equal, then I'm not going to treat you as equal. There you go. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong at all.
There it is. There it is.
You're wrong at all.
Beeb's not watching that fight either. Mark my words.
Oh, I'm definitely watching
that. Beeb just texted me and said he's not watching that fight. How about that? And Beeb will watch anything. I'll tell you that right now. Beeb will watch two pigeons fights. He's recognized the dog fights. I know Beeb will watch anything. And he texted me saying he's not going to watch those fights. It's awful, Beeb, by the way. That's awful. All right. Beeb, is there any way Kambosos beats Devin Haney?
Wood the Bell is trying to tell everyone that it's going to be a better fight. He's going to do better.
Who cares? He got washed in the first one. If you do better, what are you going to win, 2 rounds?
Just like supposedly Joshua did better against Usyk, but at the end of the day,
you lost.
My scorecard was still very comparable in both fights, so it didn't matter. So, you know, whether you're going to do better or not, you don't get participation trophies in boxing, bro. So, no, he's not going to win.
Yeah, he's not going to win. He's not going to come close. I mean, I don't see – I mean, there's nothing that he can do, right? I mean, what else can he possibly do?
I don't see it either.
I don't see it either. Let's talk about the big one here. You think Clarissa Shields beats Savannah Marshall?
I think Clarissa Shields beats Savannah Marshall, yes.
Yeah, I think I think too.
And by decision.
Did you see that stupid belt they got? The WBC's got that Elizabeth belt.
Are you going to like that belt?
No.
Come on, man.
They're fighting for 20 minutes for it. Why do they get a belt? They're fighting 20 minutes, Pete. Come on.
I like that belt.
Yeah. I take it or leave it. All right.
I think it's good.
Deontay Wilder. And this is on pay-per-view. This is $80, by the way, guys. Beeb, are you buying this?
Yeah, I'll buy it. I'm
curious. Okay. We know Beeb's going to buy it because he's a complete degenerate. All right? He can't help himself. He's sick. Beeb has got an illness. I don't like to bring it up, Beeb. But sometimes people got to know he's got an illness.
I mean, I've revealed it to the public anyway.
I know you have, but I don't see a reason to step on you.
At this point, it's not a HIPAA violation because I've already revealed it.
I get it, but I don't like to step on you. You know that.
Yeah.
I like to keep you safe. However, should the average person buy this fight?
Should the average person
buy average boxing fight? Fan, should they buy it? Deontay Wilder and Robert Helenius. The undercard is not great. The undercard is not great. But it is okay. It is okay. I'm anxious to see what Frank Sanchez does. Believe it or not, I am anxious to see if what he does and how he wins. Because if he wins a completely boring fight, that he's not going to go anywhere. He needs to start picking up the action. Even if he doesn't knock guys out, he needs to start picking up his action. Gary Russell versus Emmanuel Rodriguez. I love Emmanuel Rodriguez. I think he's a great fighter, but I think he's also got a lot of miles on him. I think it's a good fight for Antonio Russell. I'll be real curious to see how that goes. Caleb Plant versus Anthony Durrell. I don't care about the bad blood. I don't care about anything. Durrell's a washed fighter. I really believe this. Just my opinion.
Well, you can argue. He's definitely past his prime. I mean, he's seen better days, but
yeah.
We'll see how this plays out. I mean, he didn't look great against David Benavidez. This is going to be like a barometer fight to see how Caleb Plant can do as good as.
Well, Caleb Plant also coming off the Canelo thing and everything like that. Let's see how he does. Now let's talk about this because this is an interesting fight. A lot of people are going to write this off. This is an interesting fight. Deontay Wilder versus Robert Helenius. Helenius is not a schlep here. Helenius can fight. Helenius is a very good fighter. Okay.
Well,
but
the intrigue.
Go ahead.
The intrigue of this fight is obviously Deontay Wilder coming off the two knockout losses in a row.
Three straight losses. Let's just call it what it is, because he lost the first fight. I don't care if it's a draw or whatever you want to call it. He lost the first fight. He's got three straight losses.
I would agree.
Does he still have enough in the tank? You know, does he have enough in the tank? What does he have? I mean, those take a lot out of you. Those type of fights take a lot out of you.
You can't come off of those two knockouts like that and not lose anything from that. Something has to happen. Like, something has to have been taken from him after that.
Well, and let's talk about this too, okay? So we've seen Gerald Washington. Was it Gerald Washington? Who else? Chris Areola that was outboxing him? Somebody was out. We've seen Wilder outboxed.
Luis Ortiz
twice. We've seen Wilder outboxed thoroughly in just about all of his fights. Okay. Arthur Spilska was winning that fight. I thought Arthur Spilska was winning that fight. You know, he's been outboxed thoroughly by a lot of these guys, but that right hand always finds a way. Okay.
Yeah.
Robert Helenius, I expect the longer this fight goes, the more it's going to favor Helenius.
You could be right.
If this fight gets to the fourth, fifth round, I think Wilder could have a problem, potentially have a problem, because he may try to get him out of there early. He may try to go right hand crazy. Helenius knows that's what he's got. Helenius knows that's all he's going to throw. It should be an interesting fight. It can be an interesting fight. Could also be a blowout in 30 seconds. You know. But we'll see. We'll see. Do you think Wilder wins?
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick Wilder.
I would pick Wilder, too.
What? I may lay a little something on Helenius, though.
What are the odds here? It's got to be huge for Wilder, right?
Yeah, let's see if we can pull up the odds. I got them on the website real quick. Give me 2 seconds. We'll pull it up. I'm curious to see what the odds are. Because here's the thing, though. Like, if it goes the distance, will they give Helenius the decision? That's another thing we have to ask ourselves. But Helenius can punch a little bit, too. So we can't.
Well, they're all heavyweights. I mean, they're all heavyweights. So I tell you, they can hurt you.
And we've seen stranger things. So let's take a look here.
Well, I guess I forgot about the Luis Ortiz fight and the Brazil fight. Yeah, so Tyson Fury. Yeah, so he had two wins in between that. So it's not really three straight losses. I get you.
He's got two straight losses. So
yeah.
So that's not good. Let me see. All right. So this is Robert Helenius is only a plus 450. We're used to seeing guys that have fought. Wow, they'd be like fucking plus 800s.
And Helenius coming off those two wins against Adam Konacki. He beat Gerald Washington, he lost against Gerald Washington. Lost by knockout. Yeah, he lost by KO against Johan Duhapis, which was another Wilder victim. So if you're looking at records and everything, if you're looking at who fought who and doing the boxing math, yeah, I can understand why, Wilder should win this fight. I getcha. But there's always a but. It could be interesting. I don't think this is just a complete whitewash. I think while it lasts, it could definitely be interesting. So we'll see. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to the phones here. 1-1. I think this is Robert.
Hello, guys. I don't know why my number didn't show up.
He's using a burner phone.
I know why it did, because we got to come clean.
And Joe, what do you get off saying I pop for a PED? I mean, come on, get out of here with that crap.
I tried to suppress it for years, man.
Get out of here
man,
with that
but,
crap.
Robert doesn't take PEDs, Joe.
I mean, come on, Robert.
If I took PEDs, I'd be a lot bigger than what I am.
Well, but you are strong, though, Robert. I mean, I'll give you that. You are strong, and it does put a question in people's minds.
I'm only 5 foot tall and 110 pounds. I mean, how strong can I be, for God's sake?
Still pretty good. That's still pretty good.
For other reasons. We're not going to get into it. But...
Oh, stop.
First of all, I'm glad this fight is not happening. I didn't like it in the first place. And I hope somebody throws the book at Conor Benn. This is inexcusable.
Right, we didn't throw the book at you when you fought positive. You got a second chance.
No, I haven't gotten a second chance. I'm not back on the show on a full-time
basis.
I'll
tell you what we had to do. I mean, HR wanted us to ban you from even calling in. We had to take legal action and tell HR that, you know what? He's not an employee anymore, but he can still call in. I mean, he's part of the public.
What happens to Conor Benn, Robert? Realistically, what happens to Conor Benn?
I firmly believe, and you know what? You know what the sick part about it is? He has no defense for this. He hasn't come out and said, oh, the only thing anybody said is, oh, I'm a clean athlete. He hasn't come out and admitted that he did something wrong. And he hasn't come out and explained why he would take such a thing. Eric, I'm in complete agreement with you. I know the ban is supposed to be 4 years. I don't see that happening. But he needs to be suspended for at least half of that. I would say at least 2 years. And
I think at least.
You need to make him an example here. 2 years. Come on.
You know what? And do you think? I mean, realistically, though, what do you think he gets?
Realistically, the British Board of Control and the UK people are probably going to give him a slap on the wrist because they want this fight to happen. I understand the history. I understand the family feud, but this fight shouldn't be happening. They have weight classes for a reason. And I'm sick that we have to talk about this fucking steroids thing again. I mean, this is beyond ridiculous. Boxing used to be full of this crap, and now Conor Benn brings it back into the headlines. We have enough difficulty getting people to watch boxing as it is. You're going to have stuff like this go on. Pretty soon, we're not going to have access to boxing at all. It won't be on TV anywhere.
Hey, Robert, one question. What do you think of those bangles, huh? What do you think of that defense, baby? What do you think of those bangles, son?
They're going to do good tonight, so.
It's an Eric Dapp, bro.
I must have an addiction also because I'm going to spend my $80. I'm going to watch Deontay Wilder fight. I'm looking forward to it because not only do I want to see him beat Helenius, but I want him to beat the crap out of Andy Ruiz, too.
Wow. That's rough. How do you think the Helenius fight goes? Do you think he knocks him out?
I think he knocks him out, but I think he's going to have to work for it. I think it's going to go a few rounds because, as you said, Robert is no joke. But every time Robert has lost, he lost by knockout.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
So you lost all that money.
Oh my God!
No, Canelo to win by stoppage. How are you gonna afford to pay for this pay per view, man?
I'm not worried. Me and DirecTV are in good negotiations. I have no problem.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right, Robert. I'm gonna put you on hold. We're gonna get
okay,
right in here.
See ya.
Yeah. Tell the truth, Robbie. You pop positive.
Oh, stop it. What's the matter with you? 917, you're live.
Eric, Joe, good evening. Thank you. It's Maestro. How's it going?
Maestro, what's happening?
Not
mental acuity.
Amongst many other things, Joe, but thank you very much. I wanted to kind of compare this to the Canelo situation, right? Because to me, if Conor Benn really wanted to clear his name, they would have insisted on an expedited service for the delivery of that B sample. I have no idea why that is taking so long. But also, to Canelo's credit, he went out of his way to do the hair follicle test. See, the thing with the hair follicle test is it records everything that's in your system pretty much going back months and months and months and months, right? Let them do a hair follicle test, and then we'll see exactly what's in his system, and then we'll see if everything that Eric thinks he's been taking is actually there. You know what I mean?
Yep. It's not going to happen, but yeah, I agree. If you're that, you know, I mean, listen, man, if you're that clean, hey, let's go ahead. Say, hey, screw this test. I'll give you a hair follicle test. Ain't going to happen because he's not clean.
Not clean.
Right.
Well, I don't know if he's not. I'm not going to say he's not clean.
It looks great. It looks great.
What are you taking Clomid for? What are you taking Clomid for?
I'm sorry. I mean, what's the matter?
I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's no hiding it. I mean, he could shave his hair. They still pull it right from the root, you know? So.
He ain't getting away.
I mean, whatever's in there will be in there. And guess what? If there's nothing in there, then, you know, he can clear his name. That's what I would do if I was him and I was really interested in clearing name. But, Joe, I mean, look, you've covered this topic for a while now, including in other fights. What's up with with taking so long with the B sample? Because the B sample is the same initial sample. They just separate it so that if anything happened to the A sample, like it's contaminated or somebody touched it wrong, it's taking it from point A to point B, they have something else to test. So if you're so convinced that you didn't
they had said that when this whole thing came out, that they were going to test the B sample, but the B sample wouldn't even be ready till after the fight. They couldn't test it until after the fight, or it wouldn't be done till after the fight, which I think is nonsense, because you can buy a test at the drugstore and it comes back like right now. So why are this lab?
Eric, have you been PCR tested? I know you work in the school system like I do. Have you been PCR tested?
Sure.
Okay, that's the long
one. I have not,
no. That's the rapid test, right? Okay,
right.
That's the long one. That's not the rapid test. It doesn't take 2 weeks to come back. And I'm
how long does it take, though?
Teacher, like that maximum.
How long does it actually take?
At worst case scenario, you're looking at 3 days tops, and that's me being like over the top.
So they could have absolutely tested that B sample by now. Plus, what they knew 2 weeks ago.
They were exhausting all their options to trying to find a way to get this fight through, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line, bro.
No, I mean, and so I want to make a point I made on my show earlier today. Shameless plug, Mano a Mano, Kenny T. Check us out live Sundays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Look, at some point, they're going to have to go with some kind of an insurance policy, I think, for the boxers, but also for the fans. So for the boxers, to me, what that looks like is if you're a Robson Contessao and your opponent doesn't miss weight, you get fully paid. If you're Chris Eubank Jr. and you make weight and your opponent fails a drug test, you get paid. You know, maybe it costs, you know, the policy 2%, 3%, I mean, 5% of your purse, whatever it is. Or maybe the promoter should take out this insurance. But the idea that he'd go through all of those months of training, pay for all of those sparring partners, pay for his training staff, his nutritionist, his strength guy, only to not get paid because somebody failed a drug test, that doesn't seem fair, let alone all of the undercard fighters, right? And then there's the other side of this, too, because believe it or not, I was considering going out to England for the Clarissa Shields Savannah Marshall card. I actually considered it, not just because of that, but I know you're going to have issues with that, Eric, but let's just put it to this. So let's say I wanted to go up to Chris Eubank Jr., right? I show up.
Okay, that's much better. That's a lot better.
I figured we'd relate more to the second example. So I go out there Tuesday, right? I arrive Tuesday. That's Tuesday night in the hotel. Then I'm there Wednesday. Yep. Then I'm there Thursday. Well, at that point, I can't even ask the hotel for a refund. I ain't getting my airfare back. So the promoter should also figure out some way to offer insurance to fight fans so that they can get this money returned. Because it just seems to me very unfair that the other boxers and the fight fans out of pocket. And some kind of system's got to be put in place to take care of that, I think. What do you guys think?
I think so, too, because if this system is put into place, well, the promoters have to cover it now. I guarantee you, then you're going to see a lot more, you know, hey, we got a plan B for this. We got another fighter, you know, getting ready just in case anything happens in the main. We got this, we got that. They will move things to make this happen. You know what I mean? And that everybody gets paid and, you know, they're not out, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it's got to be on the onus of the promoters because the promoters could care less. You know, what he tests positive for, can we get the fight on or not? That's the bottom line. Can we get these guys in the ring? This is the only thing they care about.
100%.
So
100%. And before I go, the last thing I wanted to kind of agree with you on, Eric, was this whole 2 minute versus 3 minute round thing with women. You know, for a while this was an issue in women's tennis as well, where people were complaining that at Wimbledon, you know, the women don't get as much as the men, even though they, you know, they only play 3 sets max versus 5 sets max for the men. But one thing I could say about women's tennis is that the television numbers and the ticket sales actually justify equal pay. That's not really typically the case with female boxing. And there are a lot of talented women. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the divisions are very shallow. And you'll have women jumping up 2 weight classes literally just to get a fight because there's nobody else to fight. We're a long way away from women's boxing being on par with men's boxing, unfortunately. And, you know, it's tough to justify like, you know, the top female fighters getting what the top male fighters earn when the TV numbers, the ticket sales, overall, there are always going to be some exceptions, but overall are not equal.
Doesn't add up.
Yeah, I mean, but I think if you want that, I think you got to start somewhere. You know what I mean? And the 3 minute rounds, the 12 rounds, that all, you know, all that's going to be, hey, you know, I got, again, you're talking about guys that fight 36 minutes for a title fight versus 20 minutes. That's a big difference. 2 minute rounds versus 3 minute rounds. That's a big difference, man. You know, so until you start saying, hey, I want to get on that same level, why would they get paid? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Why would they get paid the same? Why would anybody take an interest? You know what I mean? You're going to have a fringe interest just like you got now.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I'm the last person to say that the UFC does things right. But when it comes to male fighters versus female fighters, you know, I don't think that all of those female fighters in the UFC, Rousey, Cyborg, you know, Amanda Nunes, would have been anywhere as big as they are were it not for the fact that they were still doing the 5 minute, 5 rounds for championship fights that the men were doing.
Yeah. And, you know, in the UFC, champions get paid the same. The champions all get paid the same, male or female. They get paid the same, you know?
Yeah.
So that's another one.
Yeah, and also
so there it is.
On the pay-per-view. But great show, guys. I'll continue to listen. You have a good week, and we'll talk next week after the biggest weekend of the year in boxing. It's the amount of fights this weekend is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Maestro, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Let's go to 773. 773, you're live.
What's up, boys? How y'all doing?
What's happening?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I was just watching something, and I came across the Jared McKellen versus, what is that, Nigel Benn? Conor Benn's father?
Nigel Benn, yep. Yeah.
You know what? It's crazy because you saw what happened to McKellen. You saw what happened to him. And for this to come out, this dude's on steroids. And I was reading up on that fight, and the referee was giving favoring Ben, not letting McKellen finish the fight, not allowing the rabid punches to the back of the head. That's UK boxing, UK refereeing, favoring the hometown boy. Just major corruption in their biggest sport. over there besides football. And I always thought Eddie Hearn was one of the few guys, few promoters who was upstanding, who actually had some integrity. I know Bob Arum's dirty as it gets. The guy from PBC, what's his name? Heyman.
Al Heyman.
Obviously dirty. I thought Hearn was actually an upstanding promoter, someone who told it like it is, had some integrity. But after this weekend,
yeah,
the way he was trying to weasel the fight through, oh, we'll go to another commissioner, sanction it. He's just as dirty as them all. They're all dirty. And after I seen what happened to McClellan, because I guess it just popped up on my YouTube feed, because after all the controversy, his dad pretty much put the dude in a coma or something. I forget exactly, but it really messed him up for life. I think he left him deaf.
Yeah.
Is that what happened? He's in like a wheelchair now.
McClellan is he's pretty bad off. He's in a wheelchair. He can't really communicate. I mean, I think he communicates somewhat, but he can't really he couldn't speak in like full sentences or anything anymore. It was a pretty tragic fight, man. It was a pretty tragic thing that happened. Great fight. I mean, it was a great fight. I thought the fight was over in the first round. And for Ben to come back the way he did and the way it ended, it was just everything was amazing about that fight except the outcome. You know, it was an awful outcome. Nobody wants to see that.
Very sad.
Yeah, so you got to crack down on these drug users. You got to crack down on it because it's becoming more prominent. Okay, it just seems like every other way. Even they allowed that Mexican kid to go through. Who was that, Valdez? Remember he popped.
Who was that that went through, Beebe?
Valdez, yeah. Valdez, yeah.
And they let the fight go through.
Valdez.
Canelo against Triple G, he popped, and they let it go through. Tyson Fury has a history. And, oh, no, it's bore meat. There's some shit like that. Money talks, and it's just more corrupt bullshit. Bunch of scumbags putting money first, health second. I mean, how many more tragedies do we got to see? It's like how many deaths in boxing? There's at least two or three a year, more than that probably.
Yeah, it's ridiculous,
it's just,
man.
Got to start cracking down on these promoters. Can't just be the promoters who are allowing it and try to weasel their way out. They need to be punished, have their license stripped. Then we'll start seeing some real change.
They need a main – what's going to solve it is a main commission, either a commissioner or a main boxing commission, a universal boxing commission. That would solve it. You know what I mean? Just like the UFC is its own organization. Kevin, thank you so much, man. We're going to get running. But you know how UFC is their own organization, and they make the decisions. If that was in boxing, that would be perfect. You know what I mean? That would be perfect. All right, let's get to the news real quick, then we'll get back to the phones. Tyson Fury, Beebe, and Anthony Joshua is off. I, for one, am shocked. And you can't blame Tyson Fury this time, man. Contract never showed back up. AJ lost his pen. Matchroom must have different plans for AJ now. I knew this was too good to be true. He's probably going to fight Dillian White again or something like that. Beebe, what's going on with it? Why? I mean, this was as easy as it gets. He signed the contract. They agreed on it. Eddie Hearn agreed on it. They said they agreed on it. Joshua, everybody agreed on it. They sent it to the lawyers, blah, blah, blah. Never came back.
Yeah, I think Eddie Hearn and
why do you go through all this? Why do you go through all? Why do you go through all this nonsense where you have your lawyers look at it, you send it back, and all you have to do, it's signed by Fury. He sends it over to you. What is this?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they said to themselves, Eddie Hearn and 258 management, Joshua's management team, they said to themselves, and even DAZN probably chimed in with this. I'm not sure if they did or they didn't. According to Arum,
because the fight would have been on DAZN.
Yeah.
The rematch would have been on DAZN.
Yeah. According to Arum, all the broadcasters were on board with the fight going through. So my only guess could be they tried to talk Joshua out of the fight. and they were stalling. They were stalling, like, bringing the contracts back because they didn't really want the fight. I mean, maybe Joshua did want the fight, but his management team probably did not, and Eddie Hearn did not. So they tried to talk him out of it, and maybe at the end of the day, maybe they did talk him out of it. Who knows? But you know, you could argue that Tyson Fury put forth a contract that was almost set up for Joshua to not even want to sign because they gave him like very little time in between fights, December 3rd, you know, coming off two losses. But again, if you say yes, you say yes. I just think that they didn't want to say no and make themselves look, you know, afraid to fight Tyson Fury. So instead they said, yeah, we'll fight you. And then
they're
back
out.
It up.
You know, I mean, to me, this even looks worse than you just denying the fight and say, we're going to go in a different direction, which doesn't make sense either because he's the title holder. You know, he's the champion, you know?
Yeah.
So this is a bad look on AJ's part. It really is. Cause he's going to go and fight Chisora or Dillian White. And it's like, come on.
Well,
how do you not fight for the championship?
Now they're saying Fury's going to fight Chisora now. So
that's an even worse fight. That's an even worse fight. I mean, come on. What is Fury doing with all this? I mean, you can't excuse that either.
Well, the thing is Fury wanted to fight Usyk in December. But once again, you know, it's not – Fury's got to be a little bit more reasonable, too. These guys just fought in September. Let them get their rest or whatever. And, you know, if you want to fight in December, then you fight in December. But I guess he wants to stay busy fight. But does the heavyweight champion – is he supposed to fight stay busy fights at this stage of his career? I mean – I don't know.
I get it, but I mean, if you want to stay busy, fight John Ruiz or fight Andy Ruiz.
That's
a good fight. Fight a guy like Hellenius. You know, that's a good fight.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's just a bad look. And you know, between this and the Crawford Spence fight, and then now this drug test thing. This has been a bad end of the year for us, right? We had some
bad end for Matchroom as well. I mean, is all on Matchroom's dollar. You know, this is all on their watch.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, Joe Joyce offered to step in and fight Joshua. He offered to step in and fight Fury or Joshua. And listen, I like that Joe Joyce offered, but let's be real, man. That fight ain't happening either.
That's not happening.
That fight ain't happening. He's too dangerous. See, they're not fighting that guy.
That's not that.
They're not going to fight anybody. I mean, like, Crawford and Spence, where's that fight at? The last I heard is going to be pushed back. Errol Spence came out the other day and says, Crawford is the next guy I'll fight.
Yeah.
When?
That's probably – they're saying now that, like, February 4th is the rumored date.
Jesus. It's supposed to be, like, November.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be September. It was supposed to be September or November.
How do all these clickbait journalists sound right now? Saying that it was close, it was almost done. Even Dan Raphael, man, he joined the clickbait.
He was all over it.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, these guys, all these guys have plausible deniability because then they say, oh, it wasn't me that was wrong. It was my source. Well, guess what? If you keep using the same source and the same source keeps giving you poor information, then guess what? Get a new source.
Right, or do some research on the source. You know what I mean? Like, really? Like, come on, man.
And the the first rule of journalism is always get more than one source because you're gonna get of course if you're gonna get the source that's gonna give you confirmation bias, then what good is that? You know, you're asking certain people certain questions. If you ask friggin' someone in Errol Spence's team, you know, of course they're gonna say something favorable towards Errol Spence. So get an unbiased source when you do these things, you know, so.
Yeah, guys, smash the like button. I mean, I don't know what we're like. I can't see the likes right now, but, I mean, smash the like button. I mean, if you guys like what we're – listen, we're not asking for, you know, we're not out here with a tin cup. I'm just asking you to hit the like button. That's it. Come on, guys.
42 likes and 91 people.
Come on.
Guys break my heart, man.
I know. You know what? I don't ask you to buy anything. I would not promote anything. I mean, come on. Just hit the like button. As we're all in here listening, no charge, you know, we're not like we took our show to OnlyFans or something.
Not on Patreon or anything like
Patreon,
that, right?
That's it, Patreon. Yeah, that's it, Patreon. I'd rather be
that's
on
great.
OnlyFans. I don't know. Sounds bad.
Patreon's crazy.
All right, Floyd Mayweather is going to make a Last Dance type of documentary. You remember the Last Dance, Beeb? It's about the Bulls. That was pretty good, right? It had Michael Jordan and the Bulls in there. So Floyd Mayweather is going to do his own documentary and kind of like the Last Dance and everything like that. But I don't understand about his career and stuff. Nobody cares. Like, dude, we've seen it. We just watched it. Doesn't it sound like 10 years from now or something? We just watched it. You know what I mean? I've seen it. You know? And not to mention, shouldn't you be busy promoting your fighters? Your promoter? You got Floyd Mayweather. Shouldn't you be busy promoting your fight? Why don't you get Gervonta Davis a recognizable name to fight? How about that?
You know,
why don't we start there? Start with your big money guy, Gervonta Davis. Get him a good fight. How about that? Get him a money-making fight.
You know what's crazy? If I was a promoter and I had, like, a long list of fighters, or even if I had fighters or whatever, I had someone like Tank, I'd be really interested. Like, I would be really excited and motivated to come to work and do my job. You know what I mean? Like, that's it's not an easy job. Don't get me wrong, but that's kind of a cool job. You get to go to press conferences. Like, you get to talk about the sport you love and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, man. Like, that seems like a pretty cool job. It amazes me that he's just so hands-off, you know? At least De La Hoya, like, he's involved. Like, De La Hoya is involved. Like, he's had his little incidences with his, you know. His
you can say what you want about De La Hoya, but he is involved.
He's involved.
He's involved. You know, he's at every single one of those conferences. You know, when you get a Golden Boy fight, you know he's going to be there. You know, you're going to get a chance to talk to him. If you're a member of the press, you're going to get a chance to talk to him because he does the interviews and everything like that. Does, you know.
And besides Tank, who does Mayweather Promotions have? Oh, they got Rolly Romero. Excuse me. But besides Tank, what do they have?
That's it. You know, and I'm sure they got good fighters there. I'm sure they got good fighters. But you know what? We'll never know.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if you're a fighter, do you even want to go there? Because you know you're not – like so many fighters that used to fight on Mayweather Promotions, they complain like how they never get fights. They had to leave, whatever.
That's
so if you're a fighter, would you ever want to go to Mayweather Promotions? Like, knowing that you're going to get buried, and they're not going to get fights.
You're going to be buried behind the promoter. Behind the promoter.
Promoter's not going to get behind you or anything.
Yeah. So didn't he say he made $300 million a month last week? We had an article $300 million a month, which would have been like some kind of $1 billion. He'd be in the $1 billion range. What did you tell me about this? He's charging $10,000 for interviews.
Yeah, they're charging people $10,000 for interviews, man. Come on, bro.
I don't want to ask anybody a question that bad. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to say it.
I've never paid for an interview. You've never paid. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would never, like, I don't know.
The guy is a horrible interview anyways. Like, he's
very guarded. I will tell you this, because I did interview him, and he's very guarded. I will tell you that. He's very guarded. All his answers are going to be rehearsed. You're not going to get him.
He's
you know
not
what
an
mean?
Interesting person. He's like, does anyone ever say, like Bernard Hopkins. He's a great interviewer.
Oh, yeah.
He's fun to talk to. Like, does anyone say, I can't wait to hear what Floyd Mayweather says? You know what I mean? Like, no one cares.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah.
He's just a very uninteresting person. Very my opinion, very unlikable. I just don't like the guy, to be honest with you. I'm sorry.
And before we get out of here, I wanted to bring this up. This is, this is interesting, and this is a good story of the guy we like. Andre Ward came out this week and says Canelo doesn't have a lot of prime names on his resume. Now, I'm going to start this off by saying I love Andre Ward. He's one of my favorite fighters. Now, that being said, he's completely out of his mind with this statement.
Yeah.
Canelo fights anyone and everyone. Nacho actually said this on Twitter earlier. He said he actually alluded to this. Ward's a great fighter, but he never reached any type of iconic status like Canelo. You know, I don't even think Ward was able to sell out his hometown. You know, I know Ward doesn't like Canelo, but he had the opportunity to fight him, and he never did. And that should tell you everything you need to know, because that was talked about during that Plant fight when Caleb Plant and Canelo says, let him come in. I'll fight him too. That fight could have been very easily made, and let me tell you what, they were offering him, from what I understand, they were offering him quite a bit of money. That fight would have been worth a truckload of money.
You would have to suspect if Kovalev is getting $10 million, How much do you give the guy who beat Kovalev?
Cannabis for men says Canelo Duck Charlo. Shut up. Just stop it. Will you please stop? And no, Ward was never offered a Canelo fight. Yes, I know that. I did not say he was offered. I said he could have fought him. Big difference there.
He was asked, will he come back to fight Canelo? I mean, there was kind of rumblings about it. There was no official. And he said, no, I'd stay in retirement.
And that fight would have been worth a fortune. So if he wanted to come in, they would have gave him a ton.
Yeah. Charlo turned down $7 million to fight Canelo. That's
you know what? I don't blame Charlo because he would have got walked. He would have got
walked. His brother even confirmed it. His brother said, you take Canelo. Brother said it to him right to his face. So
yeah. Jerry's on hold. All right, let's get to Jerry real quick. 410, Jerry, Baltimore.
Yeah. What's happening, fellas?
What's the word?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this female card this weekend. I don't know what the controversy is. Of course, female boxing is not on par with male boxing. It's never going to be. No female sport is on par with any male sport, really. And male athletes. Male athletes, relatively speaking, are better athletes. That's simple enough. And most, I hear the female athletes essentially saying the same thing. Regarding the 3-minute rounds, if you listen to these interviews with these girl fighters, they consistently say they want 3-minute rounds. They're not the ones who make that rule. They're not in charge of that, They're not in charge of the title fights being 10 rounds and stuff. They're willing to do it. What I look for is the spirit of the competition. And there, especially in all women's sports, is a high level of competition. And in female boxing, I mean, these girls are tough, man. They got no quit in them. A lot of them aren't that skilled, and that's the biggest issue with female boxing is that, like the caller said, the field is very shallow. Yeah, the field is very shallow, so, you're not going to get – it's just not a lot of competition there, But, if the sport can continue to grow because it grows and ebbs and flows, like you had Christine Barton, and it seemed like it was reaching some popularity, but it didn't really expound after that. Then you had Leila Ali, but again, it was a bit isolated. And this fight this weekend, the undercard bout looks like it's going to be good, but Shields, I do believe her opponent is the best girl she's fought yet. I think she could lose this fight, although I don't think she's going to. The other girl, his name escapes me right now, but she's a real puncher, and she's a very skilled fighter, and she's big. She's got good size on her. So, but the problem is she's really slow, and if she didn't work on that in camp, that could be an issue. I wanted to also say quickly, regarding Conor Benn, I don't know. I'm against steroids in boxing and in all sports, but the reality is, if you look at who's tested positive for steroids in the last 30 years, it's a who's who of boxing, from James Toney to Canelo Alvarez to Roy Jones has a failed test against Richard Hall, Fernando Vargas, like I say, Shane Mosley, Big Baby Miller, Shannon Briggs. This just goes on and on. I mean, I'm leaving out a whole bunch of guys that have tested positive for steroids. Now, as far as Ben's career, can he rebound? I don't see why not. Canelo Alvarez was able to. Other fighters will, but there's always going to be an asterisk there, of course, and it deserves to be there. But it really underlines that boxing, what I say all the time, it's a sport, of course, but it's 150% about money. Legacy and shit like that people talk about, that's for fans. That's what fans talk about. The fighters that are in the upper 10% that make life-changing money, it's 150% about the money. That's why they were fighting this fight to begin with, because Nigel Benn probably has or had a bright future at welterweight and plenty of competition to try to make fights where they didn't need to take a catchweight fight like that. But the rivalry is deep, and that's a big fight over there, so those guys are going to make a nice big bag. And that's why they were doing it to begin with. There was no title on the line. And then lastly, Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury, I'm glad to see him pushing his weight around a little bit because he is the man in the division right now. And I don't believe that Joshua's people ever wanted to fight. The way I remember it happening is, you know, Joshua was the one that jumped up there and said he'd fight Tyson Fury. And Usyk, you know, I like Usyk, but apparently for whatever reason, he doesn't want the fight because Fury seemed to want that fight too, but he didn't want it. I guess he said he was injured or he needs some time. Okay. But then Joshua jumped up and talking about he'd take the fight, and he didn't. So, you know, Fury wants to preserve that date that he has because those are hard to come by. So he's probably going to take the next guy that is going to represent the most money for the least threat while he waits for, you know, one of those guys to step up. I seen an interview with him with Radio Raheem the other day. He said if Wilder beats Helenius, he's going to have a fight with Ruiz for that's going to dictate the mandatory spot. And if he beats Andy Ruiz, he said don't be surprised if he fights Wilder again.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope that fight doesn't happen again. I don't need to see it four times. I already saw it three times with all the same outcome.
Me either, but you must admit they were good fights. I've watched them all several times.
They were good fights, I will tell you that.
Yeah, and the third fight, man, Wilder had very close to a stoppage in that fourth round when he knocked Fury down twice. Fury was hurt pretty bad both those times.
Yeah.
And while I don't believe that Wilder beats Fury, you know, it is boxing. He is a puncher, and anything could happen, and they were good fights. And plus, I can't stand Deontay Wilder, so I never mind watching him get beat up. And if he winds up being the record of the if he winds up being the body on his record that he's looking for. Yeah, I can't stand him, man. He's always talking about he wants to kill somebody in the ring. There's no room for that in boxing. You say you want to knock somebody out and whip their ass. Hey, I get that all day. But he said that many times, and when he's asked, you don't really mean that, do you? And he doubles down and he says, yeah, I really mean that. So you know what? That's why I never have a problem watching him get smashed to bits.
There you go.
Jeez.
All right, Jerry, we're going to get rolling,
right,
man.
Fella.
Thank you. He's got
a great call, man.
As always, man. I'm glad we went to him. Yeah, man. So let's see. B-Dog says they weren't all the same outcomes. Speaking of the Fury Wilder fights, they were all the same outcomes, son. One-sided, Fury wins. Look at the scorecards. One-sided, Fury wins. The first fight, everybody knows Fury won that first fight. Come on. It was lopsided. What was it, 9 rounds to 3? Lopsided.
Yeah, even in the third fight, Wilder had one good round. And
the third one, Fury almost got stopped.
Yeah, it is a domination because he won one round in the fight.
Damn.
I mean, come on. Gave him one round. Fourth, that's it. Lost every other round, and he got knocked out. That was a fun fight to watch. I enjoyed that
fight. And I hate rematches. You know me. I hate rematches. That was a pretty good fight.
You liked that fight.
I did. I liked all of them. I really did. I liked all those fights. I thought they were all entertaining. But I don't want to see it again because I've already seen it. You know what I mean? And what's Wilder going to do differently this time?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you have like movies that you watch multiple times, like classics?
You know what? That's the crazy part. I can watch a movie like The Godfather or something like that, or Scarface, a billion times.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But for whatever reason,
boxing.
Yeah, I don't want to see it again. You know what I mean? I've seen it once. I don't need to see it. I already know what's going to happen. That's the thing I like about boxing. I don't know what's going to happen. I have an idea what's going to happen. But if I've already seen it happen, just like the Haney fight this weekend, we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't like that fight.
I don't like that fight either. And he shouldn't have. His handlers really should have reined him in on this, man. I'm talking about Kambosos' handlers should have reined him in on this. But, you know, to be fair, he wasn't going to get another shot if he didn't take it now. So
he's probably getting a lot of money too. It's hard to pass up the money.
He'll get more money than he's going to be making. He's going to make in any other fight after this, because this is more like, to me, this is a kind of a cash out fight for him, honestly.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because there's no, I mean, you know,
he may retire after this fight because he'll have enough money to do so.
What are you going to do? I mean, you know, because again, you're going to lose twice. You're probably going to lose in impressive fashion both times. I mean, one-sided fashion,
yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, you can't beat this dude. There's nothing you're going to be able to go to the drawing board and do. If you don't do it in this fight, let me tell you this. If you don't do it in this fight, then there is nothing you can ever go back to drawing. He's just the better man, and I believe he is the better man. I just – Haney, to me, is like this this generation's version of Floyd Mayweather.
Wow.
Can't be touched.
Okay.
It's him and Shakur. Him and Shakur are the guys.
I think Shakur is going to be that guy.
Who is the guy? That's going to remain to be seen. But those two are the guys right now. Him and Shakur.
Yeah. I think Shakur may be that guy.
But I will tell you this, man, nobody is taking that role, you know what I mean? Where, you know how De La Hoya had it made when he came out of the Olympics. He was a star in the Olympics. We don't see that anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah. And Floyd Mayweather, it wasn't until he started becoming the bad guy, had that transformation where he becomes the bad guy where everybody, you know, everyone wants to see him beat. And until he fought De La Hoya, you didn't want to, you know what I mean? You didn't, nobody really cared.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I'll tell you what, it'll be interesting to see who takes the reins and who becomes the next the guy in the ring and the guy on Madison Avenue. You know what I mean?
Who carries the torch.
Yeah, absolutely. So, there you go. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And also, too, make sure to subscribe. Joe does shows all week long. He never stops grinding, man. That's why I love him, man. He always grinds. He always does. And all his shows are really good. It's not like, you know, I mean, he always has really thought-provoking topics, everything like that. Every time he talks about something, even if you don't agree with him, he will definitely make you think, man. So always tune in. Always hit the channel so you know when his videos are coming on and all that other good stuff. On Twitter, you can find me at Ringside73. And, guys, we will catch you next week.